us today, and that's Elise Hughes. Elise, would you like to come and take a seat up here? Elise will talk to us about the her story and the issues as they impact on this inquiry. So thanks for coming, Elise.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I initially had mixed feelings about doing this, which I'll explain as I go along, but ultimately I am glad to be here. So my name's Elise Hughes, and my partner Kristen and I will celebrate 3 years together next week. And we're now entering a new phase in our lives and our relationship where we hope and expect to become parents within the next year or so. And that is one of my motivations for making a submission to this inquiry. I don't want our baby to be born into an invisible family. As out as I may believe myself to be, the truth is that we all have to make decisions every day about coming out in different circumstances. In the community, the default assumption is heterosexual, and we're always having to make decisions about whether to correct that assumption and make ourselves more visible and thereby expose ourselves to discrimination. And I think there's two aspects to acceptance of homosexual relationships. One is by the community at large or society, and I don't think that's going too badly. And the other is government and its bureaucracies, and I think that's probably lagging. If in Australia we believe in human rights and equal opportunity, then the government should lead the way for society and demonstrate equal recognition for our relationships and our families. The federal government needs to lead by example if it really believes that we shouldn't be discriminated against. Federal government and its systems and bureaucracies should demonstrate our equality explicitly by including us within their definitions of couples and families on their forms and in their policies and so on. And as our CEO at work said yesterday, with relation to family-friendly policy, there's no point having the best policies on paper if we don't lead by example. The best example of this happening in my life, and it's not one led by the federal government, is our employment contract at my workplace. It gives us an entitlement to non-birth parent leave as opposed to paternity leave. There's no unnecessary gender-specific language like father, husband or wife in our contract, which really struck me when I first read my contract, and it continues to. Of course, these entitlements are important and we're very grateful for them. But even more important than the entitlements is the tone or the culture that they set for my workplace. It makes our family visible and equal. And this meant that I knew before I even sat at my desk on my first day at work that it was going to be okay to be open and proud about my family at work. I put Kristen's photo on my desk and my boss smiled and said, "Is that your family?" I didn't have to make that coming out decision. I was also grateful for the people who came before me to negotiate that agreement. What happens when we have to negotiate individual agreements? Would I have felt confident and safe to negotiate non-birth parent leave or something similar? I don't think I would have been. I think this should have been protected in work choices rather than keeping the old-fashioned paternity leave term. My workplace contrasts with Kristen's workplace earlier this year. She worked for a very small family business where she was the only employee who wasn't a member of a very strongly Orthodox Christian family. The many pictures of Jesus smiling down at her from the walls kept her silent about our family. She would never have asked for carer's leave to look after me if I was sick. She had no idea how she was ever going to ask for non-birth parent leave when the need would arise. And there was no way she was going to put a photo of me on her desk and tell them that I was her family. Society needs leadership to change these kind of cultures. Leadership from the government. Kristen has since left that job to start her own business via the NEES scheme, which involves applying for New Start from Centrelink. Factors affecting eligibility include whether she lives with someone of the opposite sex. So my ability or inability to support Kristen financially is not recognised. And similarly, when I give birth to our child, I will be seen as a single parent and will be eligible for single parent payment. And this is the aspect of the inquiry, I suppose, which gave me mixed feelings. I was worried about drawing attention to the apparent advantage we enjoy in these circumstances, because I know there are people who don't want to lose these benefits. And there are cynics amongst us who think this inquiry might end up with Centrelink recognising our relationships so as to reduce the welfare payments they need to make, but that other areas of disadvantage won't change as quickly. So I think amongst my friends, we felt mixed about what to say to this inquiry. But let me tell you, those small Centrelink benefits are poor compensation for the disadvantages we face in terms of taxation, Medicare, and all the other areas that you're investigating in this inquiry. We'd rather have equality and we'd rather be visible every day. A further point based on our experience, which applies mainly to Centrelink, but also applies to other government agencies, is the lack of clear and consistent information. Regardless of what policies Centrelink chooses to change or not change as a result of this inquiry, at the very least, they need to provide clear and consistent information about the rights of people in same-sex relationships to their staff and to their customers. They have glossy booklets for people in other circumstances. They need to add another one to their repertoire. Every time we ring Centrelink, we get a slightly different story. And it really does seem to come down to the discretion of particular officers as to what we're believed to be entitled to, depending on whether the donor is on the birth certificate and this and that and so on. We exist, we have families, we're not going away, and Centrelink needs to give the staff a break and let them serve us professionally and fairly, the same way they try to do with other customers. I think this is true also of health insurance companies. My health insurance company does recognise our family, but not everyone I speak to when I ring there understands that or gets it straight away, and they need a bit of prompting. Put simply, I just want the same rights and responsibilities as all of my straight friends, to form a family and support it and nurture it. I want Kristen to feel as secure in her parenting role as any other parent, without the uncertainty that comes with not being on the birth certificate, not being able to be on the same Medicare card, and not being able to be seen as a family for tax purposes and so on. Sorry. And I want our child to be born into a visible family, where there are categories for us on forms, and our type of family is named in policies, and the general community follows that example and accepts our family alongside everyone else's, and where coming out becomes a moot point. And this needs to start with some leadership by our federal government, which says it believes in human rights and equal opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise. Thank you for those comments. It's a hard thing to share your personal situation with an inquiry like this, it's not an easy thing to do, but thank you for doing that and doing it very successfully. I know when I worked as a conciliator at the West Australian Equal Opportunity Commission, complainants used to say to us, "I'm really worried in conciliation conference that I'll get upset about these issues and that I might cry." And we always used to say, "Well, it doesn't matter if you cry, as long as you keep talking." And that's exactly what you did. So thank you for those comments. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And also thank you for your submission, which is a valuable contribution to the inquiry.
My pleasure.